I'm much more comfortable in front of a music stand, so I'm going to move over. I'm going to do something unusual. I'm actually going to look at my watch. That doesn't always happen. Happy New Year to everybody. Did you make your New Year's resolution yet? Have you broken it yet? Oh, okay. A lot of people are smart. They don't even make the resolutions, so they don't have to worry about breaking them. Well, I have a confession to make. I don't make resolutions. Instead, I do something even more dangerous. I make lists. I make lists of the things that I have to do, lists of things that I should do, lists of things that I'd like to do if I really can find time for them. I even make lists of my lists. This is like true confession time. But you know that old saying, if you want to make God laugh, make plans. God has his own plans for us and for the world. We may not be able to understand those plans, but they're there nonetheless. Jesus knows how we think because he's our brother, as it said in Hebrews. He knows our strengths and weaknesses because he's experienced them himself. The Hebrew scripture, which was read today, stated this: both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of his people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those of us who are tempted today. Jesus didn't plan to die, but he knew that that was God's plan. So he followed the plan, just like Joseph in today's gospel reading. Now, before I read this, I need to give you the prequel. We all know the story of what happened before. The Magi saw a star when Jesus was born, and they knew from their studies of the prophet Daniel that the baby was going to be born in Bethlehem, and there would be some kind of celestial appearance at the time. So they followed the star for several hundred miles. Now, ironically, instead of blindly following their teachings and going straight to Bethlehem, they decided to hedge their bets. And they stopped in to see King Herod if he could give him a shortcut to find where the child was. And at this point, they were only 5 or 6 miles from Bethlehem. Why didn't they go straight to Bethlehem? Because it was part of God's plan. Herod didn't know about the child, so he consulted with his advisors, and he told the Magi to find the child and come back and tell him about it so he could go and worship him. The Magi finally found the child in a house in Bethlehem. Jesus might even have been a toddler by the time the Magi got there. But they fell on their knees, they gave them their gifts, and they worshiped him. And then an angel appeared to them and said, "Don't go back to Herod. Go home another way." So they did. But Herod believed the scriptures. And that's why he sent a corps of butchers to Bethlehem to slaughter innocent children in hopes of destroying this rival to the throne. But he was too late. The Magi had come and gone, and Jesus was safe in Egypt. And that's where our gospel reading today begins. Matthew 2, verses 13 to 15 says, "When the Magi had departed, an angel from the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt. Stay there till I tell you. For Herod will soon come to search for the child in order to kill him.' Joseph got up and during the night took the child and his mother to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod died, and this fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I have called my son from Egypt." Okay, so the Bible describes how an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and giving him instructions to take Mary and Jesus into Egypt. Now, Egypt was an odd choice. This was where Israel had been held in bondage. It had not been a kind place for infants. But God wanted Egypt to be a refuge for his child. It's important for us to remember that God, when he so pleases, can make the very worst of places serve the best purpose. This was a trial of the faith of Joseph and Mary, but their faith, being tried, was found firm. Yet it was important that Joseph respond to God's direction. Now, there's three characteristics of authentic faith. They're demonstrated here, and it allowed Joseph to lead his family to safety with God's help. As we seek God's guidance and protection in our own lives, we need to understand these necessary actions. First of all, faith acts promptly. When Joseph was warned by the angel to seek safety in Egypt, he didn't decide to sleep on it or consult the experts or otherwise delay. Matthew tells us that he gathered his family in the middle of the night and set out for the safety of Egypt. Faith does not delay unnecessarily. Once we understand what God would have us do, we need to act on it. We must be ready to respond promptly to God's direction. Number two, faith acts obediently. In response to God's command, delivered through the angel, Joseph obeyed the directions precisely. It might have been tempting for him to find a more convenient location, like go to a relative's house, or go to a different country where maybe they were a little bit nicer to Hebrews, a country where maybe he had the same language and customs. But there's no record of Joseph ever raising the first objection. If God wanted him to go to Egypt, that's where he went. How often we may be missing God's best for us by trying to second guess his will and purpose for our lives. Faithful obedience to God allows him to work effectively in our lives, protecting us from dangers of which we may be unaware, and leading us into new and exciting opportunities that maybe we've never even dreamed of. Continuing the reading, when Herod knew that the Magi had fooled him, he grew very angry. He sent soldiers to kill all the children in Bethlehem and in all the surrounding territory who were 2 years old and younger, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. This fulfilled the words spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and much grieving, Rachel weeping for her children, and she did not want to be comforted because they were no more. This is a very difficult passage. Herod was a very, very angry man, and he was very much feared for his many atrocities. Now, if we look at the Hebrew historian Josephus, he never mentions this killing of the children. Now, Bethlehem at that time probably only had, in the areas around Bethlehem, only 1,000, maybe 2,000 people. Figuring the odds, the children two and under, there was probably only maybe 20 or 30 children. And Josephus never mentions this in the annals of Hebrew scriptures. Now, this was probably because Herod had done so much else that was worse. He killed his favorite wife and her father, his sons, and then he had the nerve, as he got closer to the end of his life, he had the nerve to round up 3,000 of the Hebrew leaders and imprison them, and left instructions that when Herod died, they were all supposed to be executed. And the reason was he wanted to make sure that the nation was in mourning when he died. Now, that was really awful. So it's no wonder that 20 or 30 children would have escaped historical notice. The scripture says, after King Herod died, an angel from the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said, and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. Those who were trying to kill the child is dead. Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus ruled over Judea in place of his father, Herod, Joseph was afraid to go there. So having been warned in a dream, he instead went to the area of Galilee. He settled in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. They had said, he will be called a Nazarene. So now we see the third characteristic of authentic faith that Joseph showed us. Faith acts with trust. It took a lot of faith to gather up his family and escape into Egypt, but I guess it took even more faith to come back to the place that he was fleeing from. When the angel sounded an all clear and instructed him to return to Israel, there was probably some real questions about how wise that decision would be. But without hesitation, Joseph trusted God to protect him and his family, and they set out to return to their homeland. Have you ever sensed God's leadership into a particular course of action, but you just can't see how it'll work out? Does it seem too outlandish, or too dangerous, or too much of a risk? Some of the most exciting things that happen in your life might be the result of God asking you to walk where you can't see yet, but he can. When we set out in faith, characterized by promptness, obedience, and trust, there's no limits to what God can do in and through us. So as we begin a new year with new opportunities and new challenges before us, that's an important truth for all of us to understand. You know, Tracy, this year's almost over. And it's what a relief.
Well, I never thought I'd get through it all. For some reason, there seemed to be more demands on me and my time than ever before.
I know what you mean. Now we're looking at a new year. I don't know if I'm ready.
Well, I don't think we are ever really ready for what's coming.
I have to admit it. I'm not exactly looking forward to starting another year. I didn't get all the things done I should have gotten done last year.
Well, you know, you can't go back and retrieve all that stuff.
I wonder what will be different this coming year.
Well, I wonder if I will be different this coming year. I wonder if I will be more prepared to do all the things that I have to do.
Quiet your spirits. God is with you. You do not have to finish this year by rushing headlong into a new year. Give yourself some quiet time. Be at peace. God is with you.
I know. I've got to let go of slavery to a schedule and take some time just to be quiet and calm and just to be.
And I've got to take a look at the things that are important and not spend so much time planning and plotting.
Come unto me. You who are weary and find your burdens heavy, I will give you rest.
We come to you this day, gracious Lord, exhausted from all the activities of the season. It seems that we spend so much energy, time, and resources in preparation, and then when it is over, we collapse. We wonder what happened to all the enthusiasm we had. Lord, forgive us for placing our energies in getting and gathering. Give us peace and strength to renew our commitment to you. Remind us again to look around at the many ways in which we can be of service to you by serving others. Help us move forward in our compassion and not collapse in our witness.
Heal us, merciful Lord, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Though the world swirls around you and exhaustion threatens you to overtake you, rest your spirits in the great God of all creation, who is with you now and forevermore. God will give you strength and restore your spirits.